What's up, game geeks and tech junkies? Welcome to A Gaming Moment, a weekly podcast about everything gaming and streaming related, including the news, tech, and software behind it. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram so you can engage with us, as well as find out when we're streaming the podcast and get a first listen before it goes out across all of your favorite podcasting platforms. I'm Dagan07, and with me as always is Wild Twins fan and Billy. What's going on, guys? How are you guys doing this week?
Good, good.
Not bad. My stock account's looking great.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I didn't get into any of that. This week, we do have a couple topics, so we're going to cover the stocks a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit about Call of Duty actually stepping up, allegedly, and banning 16,000 accounts. We're also going to talk about the Reddit trolls and Wall Street bets and with GameStop and some of the implications there. And also have a couple banter items. We're going to talk about a 7-Eleven store that got a gaming makeover. Oh, we're all trying to get the night to stay there. Once again, I always think this is a great topic. Madden predicts the Super Bowl winner as the Kansas City Chiefs. And we're also talking about a Twitch ban with a streamer banned indefinitely after a gross swimming pool stream.
So yeah, let's just dive right into it, guys. Call of Duty bans 60,000 accounts. And I don't know how many of our listeners are Call of Duty fans. I know Wildy and I, we like to play a little bit of Call of Duty here and there. Wildy's more on the search and destroy side. I'm a battle royale nerd, so I play more Warzone than anything else when I actually do play Call of Duty. But the thing that's been really, really bad, really rampant, has been the hackers. And I know Wildy has quite a few clips of different hackers just in S&D. And Wild, what do you think? How can I put this? Do you think this means anything, 60,000 accounts?
No, I don't think it means anything. I have very low confidence in COD and their ability to ban people, because historically they never have. I mean, they're rampant cheaters throughout the game. Historically, you know, most of the time they're not as bad as they are now, but with the influx of free to play and Warzone, it's trickling out. It's even trickling over to the game, you know, the paid version of the game. Like I said, normally I play a lot of search and destroy. That's kind of my game type. And I've seen a lot of hackers even in search and destroy. It's like those people not only pay for the hacks, but they're buying the game too to play the game. And so I don't know. It's just I have such low confidence in Activision and everyone involved in, you know, stopping hackers and COD, that I'll believe it when I see it. And just because they say they've done this doesn't give me any confidence, to be honest.
Well, I've seen some of your clips. Like, I've seen those clips, and they're blatantly doing it. Like, you're talking to them in game, and you're like, you're sitting there calling them out on it, and they're like, yeah, you know, and it's ridiculous. And it's like they know they're getting away with it because they know Activision or Ravensoft, or, you know, blame whatever studio you want to blame for this. You know, who's behind the coding. But they know that nothing's going to happen to them, at least not in the short term, right? You know, maybe 6 months to a year down the line, but they're going to be getting away with those hacks for quite a while.
There's little consequence.
It's pretty insane that they're bragging about 60,000 bans. What is their like monthly, you know, average user, like between 50 and 75 million? It's like, that's not even like a tenth of a percent.
It's a drop in a bucket.
It's like no one, you know. It's like, hey guys, we got that guy that you reported once. It's like,
the thing is, like, there's no reporting system. I mean, there's a feel good. You know what? My understanding of the COD reporting system is a lot like installing a thermostat in the office. Like, you know, offices do this, right? They put thermostats in offices that don't do anything. Right, you can go adjust it, right? And people get the feel good, like, oh, it was hot in here. Now it's not as hot in here. Same with the elevator close buttons. Most elevator close buttons, I'd say, what was it, like 90% of them aren't even hooked up. You know, they're like a feel good button. And that's all that report button is. It's a feel good button because these people are not getting banned. I mean, again, if I really get pissed off, I got video evidence. I'm going to put it in a tweet. I'm going to tweet Activision and I'm going to try to get a guy banned. But most of the time, I don't even care that much. That takes me a half hour at least of my time to do that. And it's like, these guys could be, if they had a legit program, could be banning more than 60,000 people just by individual people reviewing clips. You know, PUBG does it. PUBG's method, as far as I'm concerned, is most effective method is actual people banning people, you know, because they're sending clips. You know, when you ban a, excuse me, when you report a hacker in PUBG, it sends a minute clip before the report and after the report. So then that's telling me that someone's actually watching and reviewing these videos and stuff like that. So it's like, that's gotta be hurtfully, it's just gotta be really slow, you know.
Yeah,
that's gotta be the slowest way possible to ban people, by people physically watching each individual clip, you know, as opposed to a program that can, you know, detect, you know, someone's hitting, you know, 28% headshots every single game or whatever it is, you know.
To put that 60,000, the 60,000 bans in perspective, right now, as of the time of this recording of this podcast, there's 90,000, there's over 90,500 viewers watching Warzone on Twitch. That's not including any other platform. There are 10.7 million followers of Call of Duty Warzone on Twitch. So 60,000 is just a drop in the bucket. Now we're talking viewers. That's not including the people that are streaming right now. I'm pretty sure there's more than 90,000 people streaming, because, you know, the top, you know, three or four people account for like 30% of the entire viewership.
As of November, COD had 110 million people worldwide drop in and play the game.
There you go.
We banned 60,000. I think you're missing a few.
Yeah, that's the
not, when you can you can virtually guarantee you're in a lobby with a hacker several times a night. That 60,000 is not representative of anything, but a feel good, probably fake tweet.
And then they go on to say, because they released a whole blog post to kind of to announce this. Basically, with that 60,000, bringing their total to date to more than 300,000 permabans worldwide since launch. I'm sorry, when did this game launch again? Like a year and a half ago, and you've only permabanned 300,000 people. I'm sorry, didn't PUBG, based off of their anti-cheat software, haven't they banned like over 2 million people or something like that?
Didn't PUBG like knock out like a million people all at once, like on one, like, you know, anti-cheat
in one go? Yeah, in one go.
That's a pretty major step, especially when their player base was already on the decline. But like, this is just this is 100% just a feel good button. It didn't do shit.
It is. I mean, yeah. They go on to say, since launch, we've taken a number of dedicated actions: weekly back-end security updates, improved in-game reporting mechanisms. Wild, have you seen any in-game reporting mechanisms?
You know what? And without feedback, it's nothing. Period.
Yeah.
I do have technically up on my Warzone screen. It says my report has there's a little thing that says one of my reports has actually caused a player to get banned. But how do I know that that's even specific to me, or if that's just something that everyone has on their screens? You know, or it's like, there's no actual way I know that.
Let's see. They've added two-factor authentication, which has invalidated over 180,000 suspect accounts. They've eliminated numerous unauthorized third-party software providers. Okay, everybody does that. They increase dedicated teams and resources across software development, engineering, data science, legal, and monitoring. Every game developer does all this. Like, they're not doing anything that's you know, oh, we need to, you know, they're doing the best thing out there that they can do to prevent this. No, they know that these people, I, to be honest, I think some of the developers are in on the cheating, because somebody has to be on the inside to find these back doors, right? To be able to create these. I don't know.
The problem is everything they do is retroactive. There's nothing proactive they've done in the history of COD to prevent cheaters.
So that's fair. And you know, I work in the cybersecurity industry as my day job. And the thing is, and it's just like your body, you can't prevent something that you haven't seen yet. So kind of like, you know, we'll take COVID here for an example. We couldn't prevent COVID until we saw COVID, right? There was no way to actually prevent it. Unfortunately, this kind of industry, the anti-cheat industry is a reactive versus a proactive, because people are always going to find ways around.
But what I'm saying is, now you got places like Valorant, right? They have like root access to your computer. They have access to see every program running on your computer, right? A little intrusive. Furthermore, they're run by China, which is even scarier, right? Mm-hmm. But ultimately, that's the price you pay. If you want to play Valorant, you have to give them access to your full computer. And granted, there's still hackers in Valorant, but now I think they got a better tool to identify those hacks, those cheaters. Even if it is retroactive, they can go say, all right, we saw this program running, this program's the program that they're using to cheat. You know, I think they got an upper hand on some of those anti-cheats that COD, you know, they can be doing more. As big as they are, as much money as they have invested into this, they can be doing more.
So while do you think that's the future of anti-cheat, is taking what Valorant has, and now us as gamers have to install these different, you know, like, well, I'm going to call it Vanguard, because that's what Valorant is called Vanguard. We're going to have all these different Vanguards installed on our computer just to play the games that we want to play. We're going to have six or seven.
I'm going to tell you right now, if that's what it takes to help curb the hackers, I'm signing up.
I don't know. I'm a fan of my own system resources, so having those background apps running, and then of course, you never know what they're actually reporting and what they're monitoring.
There's got to be some more transparency and stuff like that. Yeah. But you know, ultimately, there needs to be more steps in place, and I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
Day, you just got to learn to watch your porn on a different machine.
Oh, I definitely do. Not this machine. This is strictly gaming and work. So guys, are you looking for an amazing stream overlay that's easy to use and works across all of your favorite streaming apps, such as OBS, XSplit, and Streamlabs OBS? Well, Nerd or Die provides the highest quality stream overlays for great prices. Pick up one of their supercharged overlays, as they're the easiest and quickest way to upgrade your stream. They can be imported and installed on any major streaming software in less than 30 seconds. Visit agamingmoment.com/nerd or die, all one word, for more information. All right, so let's go ahead and move on to the next topic. It's kind of been like the big topic in the United States, really, the past week and a half, 2 weeks, how a bunch of Reddit users trolled Wall Street with GameStop stock. Wow, that's hard to say. And basically made GameStop go from, what was it, $4 a share to like $400 a share. Like their share prices were up around the same prices as like Tesla and Amazon and stuff like that. Like, I saw a meme where it was like Big Bird sitting at a table of like these executives, like, I shouldn't be here.
Man, it has been a very exciting week in the finance world, and you know, it's kind of loosely associated with gaming because this at the center of it all was obviously GameStop. But man, I love that this happened. It was, you know, I don't think I've made it any secret that I am not exactly the most pro-establishment kind of human being. And the fact that a bunch of trolls sitting in their mom's basement, you know, decided to do the most like unadvised or ill-advised investment of all time and buy GameStop when it was absolutely worth nothing and just pour their life savings into this stuff was amazing, but only because it hurt the big investors that were trying to take GameStop out. And if we're going to be honest, you know, I'm sure some of you guys have some, you know, fond memories of places like GameStop, but you know, it's a predatory business that has been like taking advantage of gamers since its inception. And I'm not really that upset that these, you know, hedge fund guys decided to try and kind of drive its price down and, you know, take advantage of their, you know, poor fate, you know, or, you know, poor business acumen, you know, trying to be a brick and mortar in these, you know, new online times. But, it really was funny to watch this whole thing go down because it was just like, you know, you got all these guys complaining about like, you know, the people buying stocks. It's like, man, what do you expect a bunch of bored computer nerds to be doing when they're stuck at home and they get a $600 stimulus check, you know, 8 months after they really needed it?
I look at this like it's a feel good story, man. Think about it like this. Like you said, there was a bunch of people there's a lot of people that were down on their luck. They're trying to live off of these stimulus checks, and these people made a bet, right? They gambled. Yeah. So in case you guys don't know, the subreddit that we're talking about is Wall Street's Bets. Like I said, if you've been living under a rock, you should know this stuff by now, but in case you don't, we're going to fill you in on it. And you know, there's stories coming out where like this 12-year-old kid had $100 in a savings account that he had, like that his grandma gave him or something, poured it all into GameStop stock, like literally 2 or 3 weeks ago. It was his birthday present. He was like, you know, I love GameStop, I'm gonna go ahead and buy some of their stock. And then within 2 weeks, the kid's a millionaire. You know, he bought the GameStop stock for like $3 and something cents a share. He bought like 50 stocks. I think it was, it was like 30, 35 or 50, somewhere in between there. And, then he sold it right at the peak of GameStop being at like $400 a share. And now he somehow made millions of dollars off that. These people that had their stimulus checks, they poured all $600 or all their stimulus money into that. And they became millionaires quite literally overnight. And you know,
I'll make a quick correction for you that there were a couple of people that made, you know, a few million off this, but most of the guys that were investing a few hundred dollars just made a few thousand dollars.
Well, fair enough.
But I mean, that's still a significant jump for someone who's like has, you know, nothing in their bank account. They get a $600 bump. They're like, fuck it, I'm going to throw it in this stock because, you know, why not? And they, you know, have enough money to survive for the rest of the year, you know.
But yeah, regardless, that's life-changing money. You know, you dump $600, you drop $600, and then it goes up, what was it, 700-800%? Yeah. And then you know you're cashing in on that. You're adding a couple extra zeros to that $600. Now you're at, you know, $60,000 or $600,000.
Yeah.
And you know, that's huge life-changing money.
Yeah.
And I think it's a feel good story, you know, trying to take down that top 1% who's just trying to, you know, really damage some companies. Like, come on, man, GameStop's already down on its luck. Like,
not that they but yeah.
it's a digital gaming industry right now. They're already having to change their business model from games to now selling knickknacks and you know, memorabilia and like figurines and clothes and Funko Pops and all that stuff. Like, they're no longer just a gaming store. you know, they're the only way that the only reason that they're even surviving right now is because a lot of people go and pre-order just to get the little benefits from pre-ordering, you know, certain games.
That's also another thing is, you know, you can't feel too bad for GameStop right now because, you know, we have this, you know, what we envision what GameStop is right now, but there is a lot behind the scenes right now of them actually, you know, moving to a more subscription-based, you know, type business model. They've got a ton of money and investors behind them to, you know, make this change. They're not hurting. They're not the ones that were like rooting for them to like, you know, take down the big bag hedge funds. They're part of the machine, mm-hmm. and they're gonna be okay either way. So
they were still a Fortune 500 company anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Before all this, they were still a Fortune 500 company. They were like, regardless, they were like 475, 480, something like that. But they were still a Fortune 500.
Yeah, the guy who did Chewy, the dog, you know, food and like toy, like Amazon type thing, that company. I forget mm-hmm. his like Ryan or something like that. He bought into GameStop, and that's part of what set this whole thing off is that, you know, these investors that, you know, on Wall Street Bets noticed that, hey, this guy who's actually, you know, a very successful businessman, I mean, his company like fended off Amazon for this, you know, and then he sold it and got into, you know, a new venture, which he was wanting to do with GameStop. He wants to make it more, you know, a more online and a less, you know, retail heavy presence. So they're gonna be okay. They're gonna make a lot of money. And the good, like you said, the good feel good part of this story is that all these people that generally weren't gonna make a lot of money made a ton of money, and it came at the expense of a bunch of rich people that, you know, aren't really going to even notice it. So it's good.
Yeah. I for me, like I understand your stance on GameStop. Like, you know, you think you have them as machine. To me, they're really part of my childhood. I'm pretty well younger than you guys. So GameStop has bailed me out in some of my worst times. Like when I needed money and the only thing I had to my name was some video games and a game console. And, you know, I had to bite the bullet because I had to pay the rent. So, you know, I have a special place in my heart for GameStop, you know, when it came to that. And fortunately, you know, I've moved past that part in my life. But that love of GameStop is still there. So, you know, knowing what GameStop has been going through with this digital progression of digital games and the way the industry is going, and seeing like how GameStop has had to try to adapt, and how I didn't think they were keeping up. I didn't want them to go the way of KB Toys, right? So, you know, KB Toys or even Toys R Us now, you know, I didn't want to see them go away because, you know, Amazon basically killed out all of the game store, all of the toy stores pretty much. So, you know, I didn't want to see GameStop become the next Toys R Us or become the next KB Toys, you know, a piece of my childhood, a piece of my adolescence, you know, going away because, you know, times are changing. It is what it is. But, you know, I still don't want to see it. And I was extremely happy to see that this happened. You know, good for them. They were able to hire a new CTO throughout all of because of all this. I mean, even today, would you say that they were sitting at right now? Wildy, what's their stock at?
$53 or so at the time of the podcast here.
Yeah, so $53. That's still up from 2 weeks ago when they were at $4. So they're still up humongous amounts, and now they're able to take, you know, they're able to take these earnings now that they're getting, and they're able to really invest back into their business at a rate that I don't think that they saw coming. And to be honest, nobody saw this coming. So I, like I said, it's still a feel good story for me all the way around. And I know Billy's out. I know Billy's look on it as, you know, it's just another machine getting duped by another machine.
Yeah. I totally appreciate your stance on being, you know, it's got some fond memories, but I'll just leave this last one here for you. Just imagine if they'd given you a fair price on that game system and those games when you were desperately in need of some money, and how much more you would like them.
No, that's fair. But, you know, I know going in, it's kind of like going to a pawn shop, right? I know going in that they have to make money, so they cannot purchase what I'm selling them at market price. they have to purchase it at a much lower price so that they can then make a small markup. You know, granted, I don't know how much markup they actually marked it up.
It's a lot more than what they paid you. It's definitely more than double what they paid you.
Right. I mean, trust me, I've gone in there and gotten 25 cents for a game and then seen that same game sitting on the shelf for $5.
Yeah. That's a little bit taking advantage of you. That's my point. But I mean, you know, they served a purpose and, you know, they're there and they do.
They're there for the desperate people like myself at certain points in time. Yeah.
You know, I just don't have any, I'm not holding any special place in my heart for people that take advantage or companies that take advantage of people when they need the help the most. So,
yeah, I mean, like I said, it just depends on how you look at it. You know, people aren't playing. If you have a stack of games that you're not playing, they're just sitting there collecting dust. You might as well get something, a little bit of something in return. And that's the way I look at it. I'm not looking to make money off of it. I'm looking to clear this out. Excuse me, I have the hiccups now. I'm looking to clear this out. Make space for new games and move on. And then I can take that money, reinvest it into some more games. Even though I might be selling 10 games and I'm only getting $5 for it, that's $5 that I can invest into another game or pre-order a game. So that's the way that I look at it. Hey guys, if you've been enjoying the podcast and would like to support us so we can keep creating more content, we've started a Patreon that you can visit at patreon.agamingmoment.com. Become a patron and gain exclusive benefits such as early access to episodes, monthly AMAs, and an additional monthly bonus episode. So sign up today.
Yeah, so this week, the general banter, we got some, we're going to talk about the 7-Eleven store in Texas. And they got a makeover with a gaming lounge. I mean, it sounds cool, but yeah.
So let me give you kind of a precursor to this. 7-Eleven is making a pretty big surge here in at least here in Houston where I live. And I think so it's making a pretty big surge across Texas. And because they've bought out a lot of these other or they've merged or bought out a lot of these other companies. So this was actually in Dallas County, up in Dallas, Texas. And what they did is they ran a contest. They basically renovated this 7-Eleven for its grand opening. And they have a whole gaming section with a TV, the PS5 console. Really, really cool. And you get unlimited Slurpees, unlimited snacks. And you basically, it's kind of like a lock-in, if you will. If you remember the old days with the lock-ins at the roller rinks. And starting February 1st, residents who are 18 years or older will have the chance to spend $11 for one night in the Utopia for Gamers before it opens to the public. However, the rules are a bit strict, as two gamers from the same household who booked the experience through Airbnb's website will have the chance to spend the night. And there's only two dates available, February 26th and February 28th. And during their stay, guests will have access to the store, which has a futuristic gaming aesthetic, and it's truly hashtag gaming room goals. There's a game pod that includes a big screen TV, some comfy looking furniture, and the PS5. And the guests will have access to an exclusive 1 hour streaming session on Twitch with FaZe Temper, if you're into the FaZe Clan.
There's no beds.
You're not supposed to sleep.
You're just going to sit. I mean, I guess that's gaming, right? You're going to stay up all night and play video games until your eyes are bloodshot. And then go get a Slurpee and some candy.
Who stays up all night and plays games?
God. I must be getting old. I'm just thinking about like that doesn't look like I could sit there for that long.
So it looks like they have like movie theater style chairs that are in there, which those are always comfy. I'm not too keen on the whole FaZe Temper thing. Like I'm not a team FaZe kind of guy. I mean, to be honest, I'm not an esports, you know, team. I don't know that much about the esports teams. Like I know their names, like FaZe and Optic and things like that. The big ones, Cloud9, things like that. But you know, I'm not too big into that. So, you know, I just think it'd be cool to be in the convenience store all night and not have to worry about getting robbed, but you get to play, you know, on the games all night.
Day, I just have one question for you, because I'm scrolling through these pictures here and it has a photo of a bunch of bags of Doritos, but done up all Frito pie style. How does that make your, you know, inner Texan feel? I feel a little sacrilegious, or what?
No, I'm cool with that, because there's also There's also a place in there called Laredo Taco, which is where I get my breakfast tacos from. There's one on the way home from my middle son's school. And at least once a week, I'm stopping there and getting breakfast tacos on the way home. They make their tortillas in-house. You watch them press it. You watch them put it on the flat top and get them cooked. Like super fresh food. You watch them cook the eggs and the chorizo and the sausage and the potatoes and everything right there in front of you. And just thinking about having access to that for an entire night, I'm sold.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Between that and the unlimited Slurpees, you know, you're gonna have to drag me out of there.
Well, you might have to walk. You might have to leave out of there because they're gonna. I'd finish the Slurpee machine. I'm not gonna lie. Like they're give me their chili cheese dogs. Those are the shit. Give me the Slurpee and give me the Laredo tacos. And I'm a happy camper. Like, fuck the gaming. I'm just going to sit there and eat all night. Like,
see, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I'm yeah, all the food coma.
Yeah.
Yeah. Food coma. And then for Wildy, because I know how much of a fan Wild is of this, they have all the Mountain Dew you can drink too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. No. Please, no.
Nectar of the gods.
So yeah, no, this is really cool. It's really progressive by 7-Eleven to do this. And I think this is going to change. This could potentially change the outlook on 7-Eleven from like the Gen Zs and the Gen Xers and stuff like that. Like, oh, they're really kind of in tune with us. And then of course, you know, they're big sponsors of like Mountain Dew and Doritos, 7-Eleven is, and you know, they have all the flavors of Game Fuel, Mountain Dew Game Fuel, which I love. So another reason why I go there, because it's hard to find Game Fuel anywhere else.
My favorite is Mountain Dew Amp. I don't think they brand it as Mountain Dew Amp anymore, but Amp is my favorite.
Yeah. So like I said, this is really progressive for a convenience store chain. And from the pictures, like I said, the inside of the place looks really cool. I don't think it's going to stay that way after it opens. I think they're going to knock that little wall or do something different with that little wall that they have there in the picture. But yeah, I think it's really cool. I think it's a good way to get different eyeballs and get different generations in there to really start trying to make the place feel like it's hip and it's bring it back into relevancy.
Console spin. They're just getting a bunch of, they're just getting a bunch of free press out of this. Everybody wins and away they go.
See, yeah. KFC console still getting press off it. We're still talking about it. did yours come in yet?
I am waiting for the list, the sign up list. All right. So, yeah, every year, it's always an interesting one, but Madden Super Bowl predictions. And I always like these, you know, they always try to make these games so accurate and all that stuff. And so I always think it's pretty fun to see. You guys ever put any weight into these Super Bowl predictions by Madden or whatever predictions that they have?
I do when it's my team, but lately my team has been the laughingstock of the NFL, so I've just kind of been hiding under a rock, pretending I don't like football. But, you know, this Super Bowl is a really interesting Super Bowl, right? Like you have the GOAT, you have TB12, Tom Brady, mm-hmm. going against arguably the best, the most talented quarterback of this generation, right? We're watching the old head, the guy that's at the back end of his career that's going to retire, that we think is going to retire in the next couple years. I don't know. Tom Brady's freaking immortal at this point, in my opinion. But we're talking about the current GOAT facing what could possibly be his successor as the next generation GOAT, right? So I think this is really cool. I think Madden has their stuff dialed in pretty well, just because they have the stats. You know, they look at the stats week over week, they look at injuries, they look, you know, they take into account all of the data, and I think they can be pretty accurate. And Madden saying Kansas City is going to win, I can't argue with that. I think Kansas City has too many weapons. I think it's a feel-good story that Tampa Bay made it to the Super Bowl with Tom Brady in his first year outside of the Patriots, which tells me that the Patriots were nothing without Tom Brady. It wasn't all Bill Belichick. But I think Kansas City just has far too many weapons in the running game, in the passing game, on the defensive side of the ball. And they're saying Kansas City is going to win 37-27. I think the spread will be a little bit bigger than that. But I do take the I would take the, you know, Kansas City is going to win portion of it.
Just for the record, Lifetime Madden's 11-6 against the spread. And they're also 11-6 on calling out the straight up winner. So the record's not awesome, but it's pretty good. It's certainly they're certainly doing better.
It's right more often than not. It's right more often than not.
What does Wall Street Bets say on it, Billy?
I mean, they're probably betting just as good of information as they were when they invested in Wall Street or into GameStop.
Yep.
I like that Madden does this every year. It's a really good talking point. It's great because there's valid data behind it, you know, with the prediction. It's not just saying, oh, we think that they're going to win. No, there's statistical and analytical data that's behind it. You know, Madden's more complicated. I think it's more than just a game. It's a full engine. And I think people need to start looking at it like that. And, you know, as a developer myself, I've actually looked into Madden's API to maybe create a prediction machine myself. And because they, like I said, they pull all of the data, such as who's out, injuries, types of injuries, severity of injuries, you know, things like that. And again, that's why they're right more often than not, because there's valid statistical data behind it.
I have a question, because I don't know anything about football, and because of that, I do not play Madden. Do they have like an AI in the game? Like
they do?
Is that kind of like how they run their predictions? Do they run the AI games against each other?
You can actually set it up computer to run computer versus computer, and it'll run the game based on the stats and the players and the whatever.
Cool. Kind of is that how they make their predictions, or is this? Mm-hmm. Is this yeah. Some, yep. Oh, yep. That's really cool, actually.
Yeah, so they have like their own prediction engine. I've thought about building my own, but I just haven't, like, too lazy.
All right. And then another topic of the week. Twitch bans a streamer indefinitely after a gross swimming pool stream. So a streamer named Wes BTW, by the way, I guess. Wes, by the way, I'm not really familiar with the guy, but he had a stream where he had various food products on stream, and he ended up, like, pouring them, and he was hanging out in the pool.
It was different liquids. It was different liquids. Like,
what do we have in there?
It was like milk,
sour like just cream, stuff from the bread, mustard. You know, oh yeah, beans, salsa, donuts, bread, hot sauce,
soda,
Mountain Dew, oatmeal. Just a bunch of gross stuff.
Cat litter. And when we're talking about a swimming pool, guys, we're not talking about like your giant in-ground swimming pool that's like 4 to 10 foot deep. No, it's a little inflatable pool that's like a foot deep. So don't think he's like spending thousands of dollars on a bunch of crap. It's not that much.
$60 at Walmart.
Yeah,
on a bunch of crap that look gross. But Twitch banned him. On the basis of bodily fluids, but there wasn't any bodily fluids on there. Like, this is just another example of inconsistencies of Twitch and their moderation. It's just like, I don't get it. It's gross. It's whatever. It was probably entertaining. Had I seen this up, I probably would have clicked on this just because it sounds like it's original. It's actual original content, you know, something like that. And, I don't know. I'm a little bit baffled by this. Like, I don't know. Maybe, you know, an actual in indefinite ban. Like, the dude's done.
I wonder how much of it is not just like, you know, I mean, obviously it was, it's gross, dude. But I mean, is it because of like what he's in, or is it because, you know, it's a large guy with very little clothes on running around on camera getting in gross stuff? I mean, it feels like if this was like some dude with a six pack, would they have really kicked him out of here? You know?
Well, it's like, it's saying, according to Wes, he was indefinitely banned for bodily fluids, but zero bodily fluids were shown or occurred. No pee, no poo, no vomit, no blood, etc. There was no open wound, so there was no blood. There was no pee, no poo. Never peed or pooped in the pool. There was no vomit. There was no spit. So there was no bodily fluids. But, you know, like Bill says, the guy's wearing, he's a heavy set guy, and he's just wearing... he's just wearing swim trunks. So to that, it very well could have, but you know, I don't know. I don't think it warrants. I definitely don't think it warrants a permaban. No, I definitely don't think it. I don't think it warrants a ban at all.
I mean, even if they decided it got a ban, wouldn't it be like 1 week, 3 days, a month? Twitch to figure out whether we're going to allow this type of things or not, you know, other than just axing it. I don't.
I'm going to bring up an old topic. Alinity was abusing her cat on stream and she didn't get banned. This guy's just doing gross stuff in a pool that, you know, that's clearly not breaking terms of service. Absolutely not breaking terms of service. But yeah, he gets a permaban. Like, this is definitely not worthy of a permaban. Like, maybe a 3-day ban because the dude's shirtless. Like, I understand, like, they can probably pop him for nudity or something like that. But definitely not. Definitely not a permaban. Like, his girlfriend or whoever the chick is sitting in the pool with him, she's completely 100% clothed. Like, she's got a hoodie on. She's got sweatpants on. Like, there's no cleavage showing. Like, if they're gonna do crap like this, then they need to ban every female streamer who's wearing provocative clothing, who's beating their cats or dogs on stream, you know, who's you know, doing all this crap. This guy's just trying to create a little bit of entertainment. Okay, he could have worn like an Under Armour shirt to cover up the nips. Whatever. I'm a fat guy. I know the struggle. The struggle is real. But this does not 100% does not warrant a permaban. It's, and I think Twitch is overstepping their bounds a lot. And fortunately he has a decent following behind him, and hopefully somebody will be able to get through to Twitch support to get this hammered out. Like, what? Okay. Maybe somebody thinks because of all of the crap that's at the bottom of the pool, it looks like vomit, but it's not vomit.
Yep. Still banned, by the way. So
yeah.
I don't know. Just want to point another inconsistency in Twitch.
One more reason not to be a partner, affiliate, or whatever it is. You know,
absolutely. Let's
stake your job on that.
Yeah. Don't
on a flaky. Maybe we'll ban you. Maybe we won't. Maybe we'll permaban you. Never tell you why, Doc.
Doc. I mean. So this goes to like what we talked about last week with what Wildy's doing. He's not putting all of his eggs in one basket. So if he gets banned from Twitch, so what? He's now he still has his following on YouTube. He still has his following on Facebook. He's not hurting. And, you know, you can use other platforms for subscribing, such as Patreon, which, you know, check out our Patreon, patreon.gamingmoment.com. And there's other ways of setting up like a subscription based service that's not Twitch's subscription based service. There's ways of collecting donations and stuff without Twitch getting their hands on 50%. So,
you know, in a little bit later of an episode here, when we get this lined up, I'd actually like to cover Patreon and the story of Patreon. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it. I'm not going to cover it right now, but. If you're interested, or you get the interest peaked in your mind just hearing about this, go to YouTube and find the Patreon creator, and I can't remember his name off the top of my head, and find his story about him creating Patreon. It's amazing. It's heartbreaking. It's inspiring. It's a great story. So, but anyways, it's just talking about, you know, content creators and their livelihoods and stuff like that. And things, you know, we want you guys to think of if you're thinking about, you know, expanding to a content creator role and just, you know, cause and, you know, end up you, sometimes you measure your quality, your worth in your pay or your rewards for each video or each project. And it really shouldn't be that way. So Patreon kind of helps with that. So it's a really neat concept, really.
Yeah. The creator's name is Jack Kant or Conte. And then he paired up with a buddy of his, his name, Sam Yarn.
Yeah. But and I think that's a good topic for another week. Maybe we'll touch on it, but you know, I just want to put that out there that, you know, a lot of these people that their livelihood is revolving on Twitch at the flaky inconsistencies they have, man. That's scary. That's scary. I don't know. I could do that.
And yeah, we just have to look at, you know, what happened to Doc. Doc was making a ton of money. You know, his whole livelihood, I shouldn't say his whole livelihood, but a big chunk of his livelihood was based on Twitch subscribers, bits, donations, things like that. And, you know, then he got the random permaban that we still to this day don't know why he's permabanned. And then it took him about a month and a half to get his stuff together and figure out what he was going to do. And so he did. And now he's better off for it. So he's actually thriving better off Twitch, which, you know, leads me to believe that a lot of other people could thrive better off of Twitch as well, which is why we did the episode that we did last week.
Yep. All right. So let's go into some follow ups here. And Dave, I think you know a little bit more about this one. G4 will return as a weekly series on Twitch and YouTube.
Yeah, so they're going to have a couple of their shows return until G4 TV is actually set fully back up. They're actually going to be having a couple shows on the G4 Twitch channel, which is going to be like X-Play and Attack of the Show. So both of those series are going to air actually starting on... It's launching. So the company and so I'll read it verbatim here. The company announced that it's going to be launching a weekly series called Before G4 on Friday, January 29th. And the series will air on Twitch and YouTube. It's part of the lead up to the network's return this summer. And it's going to feature original sketches, music parodies, game reviews, and more. And then viewers will also be able to provide feedback on that content via the network's Reddit community. So, you know, this is kind of really cool. It's going to be kind of like a live feedback session for G4 so that they can tweak their content before they actually start airing their content on the new on their revised channel. And I think it's awesome. I think they're taking the technology that we have, the audience that they know is there, and they're getting the input that they need to be able to create compelling programming that people is going to sit there and watch.
Yeah, I think it's nice. I think I like that. Seems a little bit grassroots to actually have your viewers design your show coming up, and I think that'll probably serve them well.
Well, I think it's also a good call to be on the platforms that your target demographic is on, right? And you're going to drum up that interest. Because unless you're in the news or follow the new gaming news like we do and how we share it with you guys, you wouldn't know that G4 is coming back. So this is a great way to be able to start drumming up that audience, getting that hype going back up. You know, maybe they weren't getting the hype from their initial launch or their initial announcement that they announced a few months ago. So this is another way of them doing it. You know, it's free to stream on Twitch. It's free to stream on YouTube. Why not utilize those platforms?
Yep, for sure. And then another follow-up, as we mentioned several episodes back, IKEA and Asus ROG, Republic of Gaming products have leaked ahead of their launch. And now they're out officially. So you can actually go to IKEA's website and see some of these products. But they're only launched in China as of the moment. May for Japan and October for the rest of the world, basically. But
yeah,
nothing too life changing here. I'm a little disappointed it's not a little bit more than it is, but looks like we got a gaming chair, a couple gaming desks, an adjustable gaming desk, some headphone holders, beverage holders, a ring light, you know, some cushions. I don't know, pretty low bar stuff, but I don't think we're going to be able to compare it to Logitech and Herman Miller's offerings, but at least it's approachable.
I think it's cool. I mean, the desk, the height adjustable desk, that's kind of legit. You know, depending on if it's affordable or not. So it's like ¥39.99, which is
$600. It's $600, a little over $600.
Yeah, so I mean, you're going to spend that.
That's not affordable for IKEA stuff.
Yeah, but it doesn't look like you have to build 100% of it either. But the desk is cool. The pegboard that they have with the RGB lighting on the bottom, I think that's really cool. To be able to do some really cool stuff with that. The I could care less about the pillows. I could care less about the mouse cord holder, the headphone holder, the cushions and pillows. Like I said, for me, it's the desk. I think the desk is really cool. And then they have like this little side table, which to me means absolutely nothing. You can go pick up something like this at Target and probably spend way less for it. But you know, I'd have to see the build quality of the desk before I go spend that kind of money on it. But I personally do want to get a height adjustable desk, and you know, if they make it affordable here in the U.S., it might be something that I might pick up. Hey, if you haven't already, be sure to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram so you can engage with us, as well as find out when we're streaming the podcast and get a first listen before it goes out across all of the podcasting platforms. So do it.
Well, now that you mention it, there's no better reason to hit us up on the social medias than the top questions of the week. You know, there's actually a bunch of stuff coming out on this right now, and I didn't really have time to fully prepare, but we'll go back and cover some of this stuff. But right now, Elon Musk has a company called Neuralink, and they've implanted a chip into a monkey's brain that enables it to play video games in your mind. All right, guys, who's signing up?
No.
Yeah, that's a big hard no for me.
I don't know if you guys have ever watched the movie Gamer with Gerard Butler. And anyways, the guy that played Dexter and stuff. And basically, they filled the dude's body with like these things called nanites. And it allowed somebody to control the prisoner to go play this pretty much first person shooter game. And if the prisoner survived 10 rounds of this first person shooter game, they got to go out for free. I don't need something that's going to be able to have people control my thoughts. This is conspiracy theory digging coming out here. I don't need somebody that's going to be able to control my thoughts or see what I'm thinking or be able to track where I am at all times or be able to track my, you know, I can understand the medical uses, being able to track vitals and statistics and stuff like that. But, then there's no privacy. Like we're already being tracked via our cell phones and our search history and things like that. I don't need something in my body that can, you know, either A, kill me, or B, control me in any way, shape, or form, or give more information than what I'm willing to give. So you basically give up your entire privacy if you decide to get one of these chips planted in you. Just not for me. I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think there has to be some limits to some of this technology, but you know, just the technology to be able to use brain power to control things is amazing. And you know, you know, for people that have lost a limb or fingers and stuff like that to now be able to control things with their mind and stuff like that. This stuff is coming. You know, I think there's actually a couple VR headset attachments, and I just ran into them today, so I can't speak on them to length, but that you can put on your head and use like your brain power to control stuff that doesn't require implanting a chip into you. But there's some pretty neat technology out there, and I think it'd be pretty cool to strap a headset on and not have to use a controller and just be able to, like, you know, shoot this guy, you know, by thinking, hey, I'm pulling the trigger or whatever it is.
From a gaming aspect, yeah, it's cool, but I don't need something injected into my body. Put the probes on my head, that way I can take them off whenever the hell I feel like it. But you know, I don't need chips implanted in my body. And I mean, even if, you know, we've seen these futuristic movies where they implant these nano cells in people's body, and then, you know, it's able to heal them. Like, even with that, you know, I think there's a certain circumstance where, you know, if it's a life threatening circumstance like cancer or something like that, and I needed some, and it was the only way that it was going to save my life, maybe. But I'll stick to the stuff that I can easily remove. Like, from a gaming perspective, like, we'll say gamer, or not gamer, Ready Player One. If we have something like that, yeah, I'm cool with that. But definitely not getting injected or having something planted inside my body. Not doing it.
No. Yeah, I'm definitely not in the full implant, stage here. But you know what? I would be open to maybe like some kind of like interface or like plug-in jack, so that I could, you know, it connects to my brain, but then I could unplug whatever hardware there was and still just have that little jack. I would do that. Think
Matrix style.
You can dial up the throttle on the dirt bike without having to twist the wrist, or
yeah,
you know, or.
I would spend way less time in the hospital that way.
I mean, yeah, just give me something that's removable. I'm cool with that. I don't need stuff floating inside of me or you know, embedded into a bone or my nervous system or something like that. Yep. Because I mean, think about it like this. They're electronic devices, all in your body's made of 90% water. Water conducts electricity. All it takes is one little bitty spark and you're dead from the inside. So
I mean, I'm already dead on the inside as it is, so you know, it's not really going to change anything. Maybe I can enjoy myself a little bit, as you know, in the interim.
Fair enough. All right, Bill, question for you. We're going to go back to the stock topic. So one of the other stocks that they were talking about pushing was going to be the AMC Entertainment stock. What did you think about that? We did see a decent hike, but it was nowhere near the hike that we saw for GameStop. Is this something that you'd still be interested in going in, even though company like apps like Robinhood have blocked people from buying it?
Well, as of this recording, Robinhood has now stopped restrictions on all of these securities. So like, you can buy GameStop in whatever amount you want. Same thing with AMC, Nokia, BlackBerry. Those were the other, you know, the 90s, you know, quintessential companies of our youth that are, you know, failing now. You can definitely buy those stocks now, but I wouldn't advise it because they have been tanking solidly for the last 2 days. My portfolio with I was still holding on to some AMC it's dropped about 50% in the AMC stock. So it's not really worth investing. I'm going to hold on to it at this point. I didn't really have a lot into it, so it's going to, you know, I lost maybe, you know, I think I had $100 in AMC stock. I'm down 50, and it's not really that big of a deal to hold on to it to hopefully maybe, you know, see it rebound when the pandemic is, you know, mellowing out and people start going to the theaters again. So.
Yeah. And the other thing that's been going crazy has been Doge too. Dogecoin.
You know what? I bought into that. I'm not really a cryptocurrency guy. I bought it when it was at, I think 4 cents a coin, and it was not a good investment. Let me tell you, it immediately tanked, and luckily I spent like $5 or something.
Yeah, like that, or those $2. Are long term.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm just, yeah, that's going to sit there, and, you know, maybe in, you know, a year or two or 5 years or 10 years or something like that, like, you know, I'll be one of those guys who's like, oh yeah, I think I have some of that in that thing, and let me look it up, and hopefully I didn't lose it because it's worth $30,000 a coin now. So,
yep.
But
yeah, you know. I really wish I would have bought it a few years ago when I was actually starting to get into cryptocurrency, because it was 0.0002 cents, or it was 0.002 cents per coin at that point, and throwing $10 in it would have been absolutely, yeah, nothing. And now it's sitting at 4 cents per coin, yeah, which would have been a pretty big gain at the end of the day. And you know, I never expected it to get up to a penny, or it had gotten up to a penny like once in the past 5 years before this, yeah, recent surge. So, you know, I didn't invest into it because I was like, you know, I don't think anything's going to happen to it. It's been around for quite a while as far as cryptocurrency goes. It's one of the older ones, and it hasn't seen a huge bump until pretty much within the last month and a half.
Yeah,
that's what they call a junk stock right there. You know,
yeah,
penny stocks is what they used to call them, or whatever. It's just like junk bonds and whatever. It's just you're just kind of throwing your money away in the hopes that maybe it's a 1,000-to-1 payoff. You know, you get lucky sometime.
But it's a low risk. You drop $10 on it, you know, or you know, if you drop $1,000 on it and it jumps up, like I said, if you got it at $0.00002 that it was a few years ago, and you dropped $1,000 on it then, and then you sell it now when it's four cents a share or 4 cents a coin, that's a pretty big payoff.
Yeah, not a lot of people willing to put that much money into something that's, you know, not really worth that much though. So that's the deal. Like those securities that you're trading for at such low levels, you know, that's how they make their money. It's like just people that are willing to basically throw their money away at it.
Yep. That's that Wolf of Wall Street style, baby.
Yep.
Yeah. I think you're still, you know, you may not win the lottery out of the deal, but I think you're still better off investing your money in your 401k. Yeah. If you have a company that matches that, at least putting the minimum to get your match in there. And just play the market index.
If anyone wants a proper stock tip, investing in Hyundai right now is pretty good, since they just got into talks with Apple to make their new Apple car. So that's an actual investment that might be worth some money. So
you heard it here first, folks.
Yeah,
we'll take we only request 1%. It allows us to pay for the hosting on the podcast. 1%. That's all we ask.
That's less than your broker takes. Come on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Especially for a good hot tip.
Yeah.
All right, guys, that's going to be it for this episode. Thank you guys for listening in, and consider our Patreon to support the podcast. And also by going to merch.agamingmoment.com and picking up some of that sweet, sweet swag. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting platform. Be sure to leave us a 5-star review of the podcast. And also check back weekly for the next episode. And until next time, guys, keep grinding.